Well, good morning to everyone. It is a pleasure to see each and every one of you. It's a great day to be alive and in San Angelo, Texas. Good to see everyone. Our study that we've taken on this month is going through the book of Psalms, Psalms 69. And look at the prophecies from Psalm 69 that David made in his writing and find the fulfillment of the confirmation of that prophecy. And my assignment this morning is to find it in Matthew, but they're in Romans and they're in John. But this Psalm 69 is referred to as a Masonic psalm, a Messianic psalm, because there are so many things in this 69th chapter of Psalms that we find as a prophecy of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. The Old Testament is filled with prophecies. Bible scholars, I looked at one, he said that there were 353 Bible prophecies in the Old Testament that referred to Jesus Christ. And seven of these prophecies are come directly from Psalms 69. So for that reason, it's called one of the Messianic Psalms, because when David wrote it, he spoke thinking of himself, but actually he was pointing to Jesus Christ. We're going to look at a few of these this morning, some of these verses. These verses we're looking at this morning were called the days of sorrow and the days of grief as it led up to the crucifixion of Jesus and the eventual resurrection. The 69th Psalm has long been considered to be a messianic psalm by the Bible scholars. Some scholars believe that the entire 69th chapter of Psalms is nothing but things of prophecies that are spoken to about Jesus. But I disagree with that, I conclude. But David was not only the king, but also according to Acts 2 and 30, David also was a prophet. So these things that David wrote were prophecies about Jesus Christ. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, we know that every word in them points to Christ. The Old Testament talked about the coming of Christ, and then the New Testament talks about the confirmation and the fulfillment of Christ. The book of Psalms is not about David. David wrote it. But the book of Psalms is about Christ. It's about this genealogy, this son, this descendant of David that was to come. I think when we look at these prophecies and these many different things, I think the key that we have to use and understand before we can apply is to look at things in context. We've got to look at them as they were written. So we'll talk some about that this morning. We'll talk about some of these. But the goal this morning is to look at a few prophecies out of Psalm 69, to discuss them, and then to determine their fulfillment in the New Testament. Because David was writing about the Messiah, Jesus. We're going to look at Psalm 69:20, where David said, where the writing is, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." This was fulfilled in Matthew 26 and 38. We're going to look at Psalm 69, chapter verses 13 through 21, where David calls for the favor of God. This prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew 26 and 42. We're going to look at Psalm 69, verses 14 through 20. Where we speak of the anguish of David as he writes of his soul, which is also refers to the anguish that Christ had before crucifixion. And we'll find this prophecy fulfilled in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 45. We're going to look at Psalm 69 and 21, where David talks about gall and vinegar being given to him for his thirst, a prophecy that is of Jesus in Matthew 27 and 34. And then I jump just a few chapters, and Psalm 72, verses 10 and 11, David writes about the great people that would visit. And this prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. Let's go up to Heavenly Father of prayer, and we'll get into these prophecies. This is an interesting study. It's a very complex study. It's a very difficult study, and it is several notches above my pay grade. But this has been something that I think is going to be good for us, so we'll dig into this and see what we can learn about these prophecies. I think the first thing we need to really realize when we begin to look at these prophecies of Psalm 69 is that we've got to be very careful when we note and when we understand the context of the prophecies. Let me give you an example. Psalm 69 and 5. David said, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Now we know without a doubt that this verse, 69 and 5, applies to David and to David only. Because there was no foolishness in Christ. And we know that there were no sins that Christ committed that he was trying to hide, because Christ was sinless and he never did sin. He never committed a sin. So this verse, 69:5, tells me that this chapter, part of it, is written about David, because this is David speaking. Some people say that we cannot state that Psalm 69 speaks exclusively of David, and we can't, because some of the passages in Psalm 69 are again quoted and are brought up again by New Testament writers, which means that these are not about David, but in fact these verses are prophecy that David has spoken and written that apply to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So there's some verses that belong only to David, such as Psalm 69:5, but there are other verses that we will speak of this morning that apply not to David, but to the Messiah. And then we have verses such as 69:4. Now this is a verse that can be applied to David, and also can be applied to the Savior as well as a prophecy. 69:4 said, they that hate me without a cause are more than, those that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. He had a lot of enemies. That they would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, or mighty, then I restored that I took not away. Now what David is writing about here in the fourth verse is that he was living in a very unfair situation. He was being unfairly charged for the things that he had not done, and he was having to make restitution for things that he had not taken. The psalmist is very concerned about this. This is a very serious thing that he is experiencing. But we can also see that these words can also apply as a prophecy about Jesus Christ, because they also describe the unfair situation that Jesus experienced when he was waiting and when he went to the cross. So what I'm trying to prove here is that Psalm 69 is referred to as a messianic chapter, but every word in here and every verse in Psalm 69 does not apply only to David. Nor does every verse apply only to Jesus. And some of the verses apply both to David and to Jesus. So these verses are applicable in different ways, and it takes the New Testament writers, as they get into this, into the New Testament, to tell us what is the fulfillment in the New Testament about Jesus as to the prophecies that were given in the Old Testament. So when you look at these messianic psalms, you need to use some spiritual discretion, because they can go either way. One man I read after, he said the way to figure out whether it's of the writer, David, or whether it's of the promise of prophecy of Christ, he said, look at every messianic psalm, look at it on two levels. And he gave the example of a crossword puzzle. He said, you do a crossword puzzle, you're going to have the words that are horizontal. He said, there's your writer, there's your author. He said, you're going to have words then that are vertical. He said, those are your messianic prophecies. He said, the main part of Psalms is horizontal, which means that David is writing about his own problems and trials, and he's talking about himself. But there's going to be some verses that are vertical, which are in fact prophecies of Jesus. How do we know which one to apply to which verse, whether it's a horizontal or a vertical? And again, that's explained in the New Testament, because the New Testament writers interpreted these prophecies, and they applied these prophecies, and they wrote about it in the New Testament to confirm the fulfillments of the prophecies in the Old Testament. This is a problem for some scholars. It's a problem for some people to try and figure out what is horizontal, or what is earthly, and what is vertical or spiritual. And I guess if you really want to get down to it, if you're really going to understand the New Testament, you better understand the Old Testament. because it's all written about the same thing. The Old Testament tells about Jesus coming, and then the New Testament is a fulfillment of it. But I think when we view the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, we need to keep in mind the original audience that the book was written to. And I think this is, I think we found this true in our study of Hebrews. Paul was writing to the Hebrew Christians in Jerusalem. He wasn't writing to Gentiles when he wrote Hebrews. And he was writing about problems that were specific to the Hebrew Christians in Jerusalem. Don't go back into Judaism. Judaism is not good. Stay with Christianity. It's the better. It's the superior. When we look at Revelations, I think we need to look at it by the audience that it was written to. And I think it makes a whole lot more sense than the interpretation. To understand the new, you need to have an understanding of the old. And these Jews that David's writing to here understood the old. So they could understand the prophecies and the fulfillment in the New Testament. Didn't mean they listened to them. Didn't mean that they accepted them. They could understand them because they knew what the prophecies were and they could understand the fulfillment. So that's enough context to get this set up about how we need to look at these things, so it gives us a little better understanding of the context. The first one we want to talk about is a writing that David made in Psalm 69 and 20, where he was talking about how sorrowful he was and the problems that he had. He says in Psalm 69 and 20, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. I looked for comforters, but there were none." David said, "I'm in a real mess here. I look for people to help me and support me and comfort me. There ain't a one of them willing to do that. I look for people to show me some pity for the things I'm going through. Ain't nobody there to give pity to me either." He said, "My heart's broken. I am despondent. This is what I am going through in my experiences." So this is probably one of those verses that we can apply to David horizontally and Jesus in a vertical fashion, because it is definitely a prophecy about Jesus. We know that because this prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew 26, verse 36 and 38. Listen. "Then came Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, 'Sit you here while I go and pray yonder.'" Here's where the prophecy is fulfilled. "And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee," this would be James and John, his favorite disciples, "and he began to be sorrowful and very distressed." Verse 38, it said, "Then he said unto them, 'My soul is extremely sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you with here with me and watch with me.'" Now Jesus was facing the crucifixion at this time. And he knew what was happening. And it was not a pleasant thought of his future at this time. He said, "I am very sorrowful and I'm very distressed." David wrote the same words hundreds of years earlier. This was a prophecy that was fulfilled in Matthew 26, verses 36 and 38. We know that because the New Testament writers told us that. When they brought this forward and made reference the inference back, we know that this was a prophecy, and this was David the prophet and not David the king writing the words. Psalm 69 and 20 is talking about Jesus. In Psalm 69, verses 13 through 21, and I'm just going to pick the hot high points out of this instead of reading this, we have David in a prayer calling for the favor of God. In verse 13, we find David praying for a time, and he's asking for a favor of God, and God answers the prayer. Verses 14 and 15, he's praying to God, "Don't let me sink in the deep mud. Don't let me be overwhelmed by the floodwaters. Give me deliverance." 19:21, he said, "I'm ashamed, I'm insulted with the experience that he had had. I've looked for sympathy, I've looked for comforters, I've looked for help, but there's none of it out there. He's been mistreated, he believes he's been mistreated, he feels this mistreatment, and he said, my mistreatment that people have given me is symbolized in that when I was thirsty, they gave me not water, but vinegar and gall." Remember that. Because we're going to come back to this a little bit later. I'm going to make a point of this where this is brought forth in New Testament Scripture. Symbolized, the mistreatment that David is enduring is symbolized by the vinegar and the gall that he was given. Well, this is vertical. This is a prophecy. We know because that when we get to Matthew 26 and 38, we learn that it is a prophecy. Jesus went a little bit further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then in the 42nd verse, he goes again. He went again the second time, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." The Bible tells us he made a third trip with words about the same thing, to pray to God. Now this was a fervent prayer by Jesus Christ, calling, begging for the favor of God to be with him, to stay with him, and if possible in any way to deliver him from this crucifixion that he was about to go through. You know, he knew exactly what he was about to do. Christ understood exactly what was going to happen. He knew he was going to be whipped. He knew he was going to be scourged. He knew he was going to be spit on, hit and kicked and humiliated and shamed in every way. He knew he was going to be nailed to a cross. He knew he was going to die there. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And he said, "You know, Father, if there is any way that we can get around this, then we need to do it." Because Jesus was human as well, and he didn't want to endure this pain and suffering and humiliation. But he said, "If it's possible that this cup pass, nevertheless, it's not my will, it's your will. And if I drink it, if I have to drink it, if I have to go through this," he said, "thy will be done." David was talking about something as he prayed to God, but he was actually talking about Christ himself and the crucifixion. Let's look at another one, Psalm 69, verse 14 through 19. Listen to the words of David and the anguish that David had at the time of this writing. "Deliver me, God. Deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those that hate me out of deep water. Let not the waters flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Don't let the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord. Thy loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Hide not thy face from thy servant, and redeem it. Hear my trouble. Deliver me from my enemies. They know, you know my reproach, you know my shame, you know my dishonor, and you know my adversaries." David is in a very fervent prayer to God. "God, deliver me. Take care of me. Get me out of this mess that I have gotten myself into. Help me, Father." He was anguished in his spirit, in his soul, in his mind, in his body. And he prays that God would help him from the anguish that he has. But that's not what's going on at all. That's the words that David wrote. That's the words that David was instructed to write by the Spirit of God. But what he was really writing about was the serious anguish of the Savior and what he was about to endure, which was far, far worse than what David was going through. It was fulfilled in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 45. Now, I have been picking from this whole, from this scripture, 36 through 45, this is where all of these prophecies are fulfilled and promised. And I've just been picking and choosing to make my points as we went. I'm going to read this. It's about 9 verses long, but I want to read these verses and I want you to listen and understand, because when you look at it in totality, it really does paint a picture. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 45. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, outside the city of Jerusalem, preparing for the crucifixion that was about to happen. And he said to the disciples, "Sit with me here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John and James, and he began to be sorrowful and was very distressed. Then he said unto them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry with me," speaking to his friends, "and watch with me." And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came unto the disciples, and found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, "Could you not even watch with me 1 hour?" Watch and pray. that you enter not into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away a second time, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, then your will be done. And he came, and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them. And he went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on. Sleep on, boys. Take your rest, because my hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. You know, this is kind of an acceptance here, and I think this is very important that we read. He prayed fervently that this would be removed. He was a man of sorrow. He had great anguish, great temptation. But now, he says, sleep on, boys. Just sleep on. You need your rest. Because I'm satisfied in my mind. I've accepted what is going to happen to me. It's no longer something, it's not something I can get out of. I've asked that God do something different, and God says no. So he says, I'm going to have to do exactly what I knew I was going to have to do to start with. And he said, my time's come. And it's time for me to go do what I was sent to this earth to do. It's time for me to do my duty. I've got to sacrifice myself for mankind. I've got to die and take on myself the sins of all humanity so that man might have a chance through me to be forgiven and to have a chance of reconciliation with God. It's my duty. It's what I was sent here to do. And he was accepting it. No more. It was now. There was no longer any anguish, I don't imagine, except he probably had a lot of dread. But he had accepted that this is the way God wanted it. And as he has said in three prayers, if this cup can pass from me, please allow it. But if not, thy will be done. I think that's an important thing. And this is a prophecy that David was making, but yet it is pointing directly to Christ. Number four, in Psalm 69 and 21, David said, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Poor David. Poor David. He wanted something to drink. He was thirsty. They gave him gall for his meat. They gave him vinegar to drink. All the time he's saying all of these many things, unknowing that he's not speaking about himself. He's speaking about Jesus Christ. This is another one of the prophecies. We know that because this prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew 27 and 34. When on the cross, it said they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he tasted thereof, he would not drink. I've often wondered about that. Why would Jesus turn down this vinegar? Because vinegar was something that was given to these people that were crucified that somewhat dulled their senses. It was really a kind of an act of mercy that these soldiers could give, and it's probably all they could give without being put on the cross themselves. But they would give these criminals a drink of vinegar, and it would do just a little bit to alleviate their pain. It helped some. It dulled the suffering. But when Jesus saw what they were giving, he wouldn't take it. He didn't want it. He didn't want his suffering reduced. He had a job to do. He was going to do it to the fullness. He didn't shy away, but he took the full brunt of the sacrifice that he was making. His eyes were fixed on the victory that lay just ahead, because he knew when he breathed his last breath that he was through. He was going back to heaven, and that his job was done, and he had offered a way for mankind to be saved. John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30, we talk about Jesus offering a stupefying drink and turning it down. In Matthew 27, though, verses 33 through 34, when it came to a place called Golgotha, which means skull place, they gave him sour wine mixed with gall to drink, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And then Matthew goes on to say, the gall and the vinegar was not only given to Jesus literally to dull the pain, but it was also symbolic of the brutal treatment that he had received from the people. I believe that's what David was trying to say back when he made this first statement. He had been so brutalized by the people, and this drink was a symbol. That's what Matthew says it was to Jesus. It was a symbol of the brutality they had used on Jesus. The last one I bring up to you comes from Psalm 72. I jumped up a couple of chapters, verses 10 and 11. It says, the kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. David wrote this. but he wasn't writing it about himself. He may have thought he was, but he wasn't. He was writing this about Jesus. I know that because it was fulfilled in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 11. And again, I'm just going to pick a few verses out here to prove my point. Matthew 22, 1 through 11. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we are come to worship him." Now, there's a little passage in here about Herod and this trick he's trying to play because he wanted to kill Jesus, but yet he said, "Bring him to me so that we can worship him." And then we get down to the ninth verse. And it said, "When they had heard the king, and they understood exactly what Herod was trying to do, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them to the king and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Jesus gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." David had absolutely no idea what he was writing when he wrote this in the 72nd chapter of Psalms. But the New Testament scriptures writers knew it because they said this is a prophecy about Jesus himself. Which makes Psalms 72 and 11 so much more important and more understandable, where David said, "Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him." This is another prophecy about Jesus. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, these words were written generations, hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, but yet every word that David wrote about Jesus in the prophecy was explained to us in the New Testament reading. Psalm 69 is a messianic psalm because there are many references to Jesus in the 69th chapter. It talks about the suffering of David, but the suffering of David was not what was important. It was the vertical suffering of Jesus and the prophecy about Jesus that was to come in later years. And God allowed this suffering so that we could understand what David was talking about, so that we could see the context, we could see the importance of this old law, and then be able to understand and realize the relevance and the importance of the new law when Jesus Christ actually came. He wanted us to be refined, and he wanted us to see Jesus, and he wanted Jesus to be seen in his followers. Poor old David had absolutely not one idea of what he was writing. He penned the words that the inspiration of God gave him to pen. God directed him to write, and he had some problems. There's no doubt about that. David was depressed. He was anguished. He had some real problems with his enemies. But he was a pawn that God used to write about his own problems, but they were actually prophetic about the Messiah that was to come. Prophesied in the old law, confirmed and fulfilled in the new. This is going to be an interesting study. We're going to look at John. We're going to look at Matthew before this is over. And we're going to look at some of these prophecies out of Psalm 69. That's all we've got. We offer now an invitation song. If there's anyone in the audience that needs the help of the church, this is a time to step forward and we will take care of it. Stand as we sing.